Hi, before we get started with this week's podcast, please be aware today's message does contain some adult language that may not be suitable for younger listeners. We hope you enjoy it.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to Friends Church. Anyone like this kind of foggy, moody kind of weather? It's kind of nice, isn't it? That sun, you know, who cares about the sun, really? We want this moody, like, Abbotsford-y kind of weather, right? This series is all about, and I'm going to say this word a lot, so if this is uncomfortable for you, just bear with me. It's about controlling an inner asshole. And today I want to start with my story of this to tell you why this is so important to me. So it was a bunch of years ago. I was still in college, and my asshole came and ran my life for about 2 years. It was awesome. Not really. I was at my aunt's house, and my mom has an identical twin. And I was at my aunt's house, and she was having a party. So the whole family was there, and my aunt's kind of this weird artist lady. She was always doing weird things. She never owned a house until she was 50. You know, she was always living, you know, she'd live in Greece for a few years, then she'd live in southern Mexico, and then she'd be back in our couch for a couple months, and then she'd be doing some sort of artist installation, and then back, you know, living in a basement. It was just the way it was. And we all loved her because she lived with us. And so she comes out and we come to her new house, which she just bought at 50, and she brings out her her roommates. And now she's always had these eclectic roommates that kind of became part of the family, and then they disappear and we never see them again. We thought it was just this artist thing. So her roommate comes out and my aunt says, "Here's my house partner." And I was like, what kind of a word is house partner? What does that even mean? So we had a lovely dinner. She cooked this amazing food. And I was driving back, me and my sister in the back of the car. And I was like, "Jules, what's up with the house partner thing?" She's like, "I don't know, but the house partner slapped Mill in the ass in the kitchen." We were like, you can just see our brains. We're kind of, you know, my aunt's sexuality was just, I never thought about it. Mill's Mill. Like, who cares, right? And also we have this moment where we're like, "Do you think Mill's gay?" My sister's like, "I don't know." So I have my first cell phone. So I whip up my cell phone, dial up my aunt. "Hey, Mill, how's it going?" "Good." "Hey, can I ask you a question?" "Sure." "You gay?" That's not even the asshole part yet, folks. This is kind of awkward pause. Yep. "Okay, well, we'll see you next week. What do you bring to the party?" Like, for me, it was literally like, oh, well, that makes some sense. And now I know what pronoun to use for her partner. Okay, so what do I bring to the party next week? Do you want buns or do you want me to bring something else? And that's what was it for me. My aunt's gay. Okay, that's nice. But I was part of a very conservative Christian family. And in this tradition that I was a part of, the tradition that I grew up with, my family tradition, homosexuality was a no-go. A no-go. And so, as soon as this came out, of course, because Vince, and again, this isn't the asshole part yet, Vince the asshole outed my aunt, right? And literally, it was just, I just wanted to understand. So my family, you can just feel them pulling apart, just like, "You can't be this way, but I am this way." My aunt was trying to just, you know, get to know her new partner, who then became her wife. They've been together for 23 years. Incredible. They love each other, take amazing care of each other. But at the time, it just tore my family apart. And all these Christian values that said, you can't support someone being gay. And here's Vince. Never willing to shy away from a good fight. For the next 2 years, I badgered my mom to accept her sister, her identical twin sister, who she's known her entire life, to love her sister and love her homosexuality. I badgered her. "Mom, Bible says love your neighbor. Vince, I don't want to talk about this with you. This is between me and my sister. But mom, no, you have to love her because you have to love someone. Vince, I don't want to talk. Mom." And it was like that for 2 years straight. That's the asshole part. every time my mom would say, I don't want to talk about this. Vince, please, let's not talk about this now. I just kept grinding her to it, grinding her. If that hadn't been my mom, they would have told me to bugger off right from the beginning. It got so bad. I called my mom. I was living in Edmonton at the time. Hey, mom, how's it going? Good. Hey, mom, can we talk about Mill? And she'd be like, okay, I got to go now. Kunk. So the day my mom died, we never repaired that. I never repaired that. Something I believed in deeply. It wasn't my conviction that I had a problem with. That's not what made me the asshole. It was the way I behaved over and over and over again. I never raised my voice. I never used mean language. But oh man, I was an asshole to her. Today we want to talk about how to control her inner asshole, because that event sat like a hole between me and my mom to the day she died. Even now as I tell you about it, I'm talking about it, I'm trying to stay in my head, because in my heart I can just feel this like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And first I want to say, you know, can you throw up the slide for me? Yeah. The inner asshole, the yelling inner asshole, that's a pretty common one, right? You get that one. But there's a much broader sense of asshole than that. And I'm going to say, raise your hand, but don't raise your hand because you don't want everyone around to hear it. Anyone ever ghosted anyone? You know, something was said, something happened, something went down, and all of a sudden you're like, and I'm never talking to them again. I've seen family members ghost each other. My mom should have ghosted me. Anyone ever been a little passive-aggressive? Something happens, instead of yelling and being honest, you know, later on you're like lighting something of theirs on fire and throwing it away because you're like, ha, they'll never know, but. How about shutting down? Conflict comes up, disagreement comes up, and we just like, oh, I go away. I smile on my face, but I am not home. Sarcasm. Infighting, gossiping. All these are an expression of inner asshole. And the reason I care about them so much is because I saw what my behavior did in my relationship with my mom. And let's be honest, with my dad, with my family. What was the situation where your inner asshole came out? How did it impact the people you love and your relationship with them? Brutal, isn't it? That's why we want to talk about this. Now, Trevor started the series last week and did a great job, and he talked about two points. There were self-care points in some sense. One, he talked about gratitude, which if any of you have ever tried it, that stuff is money, isn't it? Second one he talked about was being non-threatening. How do we be non-threatening? But today I want to talk about the other side of that, when we feel threatened. Because there's a million different ways we can talk about our inner assholes coming out, but there's one specific one I want to deal with today, and it starts with a disagreement, and it ends up us doing things that we would never want to do. When we look back in a clear head, we'd look at our behavior and go, yeah, bullying my mom like that for 2 years, that wasn't cool. And like always, I want to share about this part of our lives that's kind of, it's almost like slippery slope. We start into this thing, something goes wrong, and we just go right down into like a bad place. And we're even sitting in that bad place going, how did I get here? I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I talked like that to someone I love. And as always, I think there's wisdom in the Bible, but today I want to tell you a little Bible story, but I want it to be a cautionary tale. I don't want to take this historically, because if you take it historically or literally, come and talk to me after, because I have no clue how you handle this text. Today I want to take it psychologically, as something that we do that causes our inner asshole to come out. And it's the story of the children of Israel. We've been talking about them for the last while. Fantastic. They're right at the edge where they're going, we're here, Where we want to go is here. This is what we're calling the Promised Land. And in between is the Heshbons. Now, we need to go across the Heshbon's land to get to our land. That's the setup. And here's the disagreement. I want to cross your land. The Heshbons are saying, we don't want you to cross our land. Now, don't think roads like BC, like I want to go to, you know, the coast. I'm just going to drive across the highway. No one owns the highway. It's not like that. It's more like someone says, I want to walk across your front lawn and drop all of our crap in your front lawn so we can get where we want to go. Does anyone think that that would be awesome to have someone, like an entire nation, walk across your front lawn? It's brutal, right? So the Heshbons aren't being unreasonable. They're not being jerks. They're not being morons. They're not being assholes. They're just saying no. Like, don't come across their land and destroy everything. And so the story starts with this disagreement. We want to cross your land. We don't want you to cross our land. Well, we want to cross your land. We don't want to cross your land. But here's something happens. And because disagreements are no big deal, right? Anyone have had a disagreement with someone in their lives, right? You know, I like sweet crepes. You like savory crepes. Who likes savory crepes, folks? Come on. That makes no sense. That's the minute I did me talking, right? Well, disagreements are no big deal. And they disagree. We want to cross your land. They say, I don't want to cross your land. No big deal, right? We could handle it civilly. We could agree to disagree. There's many different ways we can take care of this. But here's what they do. The nation of Israel sees this moment as something different. Esmond, can you throw up the line for me? They said, God turned the hearts of the Heshbons against us so we could attack them. We went from, we disagree on how we should use your front lawn, to some sort of mechanism that allows them to attack them. And this is what we do often, right? I have a disagreement with someone, no big deal. You know, sweet crepes, savory crepes, no big deal. You're wrong, but whatever. We can agree to disagree. Why? It's almost like we need something else in order to go from we have a disagreement to my inner asshole coming out, right? And that's what they do. They have this whole story that says God has turned their hearts against us and now they're our enemies, and I can just see the fear coming up in them. Well, we're here, the Heshbons are there, and we need to get to that land. Well, if we don't get through their land, we're going to die. Our lives are at risk. This is an us or them, right? Can you see the mentality? It's not just we disagree on something. There's a disagreement that has a story behind it. It has something going on. And here's the most brutal part. And this is why generations of people have taken the Bible and thrown it away. Because this is what they did. I have a disagreement with you. I've escalated to life and death. And the Israelites invaded the Heshbon's land, killed every man, woman, and child. That's how the story reads. If you take this story literally, this is a story of genocide. And even further, it would be this idea of a God-ordained genocide. And I don't know what you do with that one. But asking psychological questions, have we not been in a place where we had a disagreement with our partner? They want something. We want something else. They want to do something. We want to do something else. And we find ourselves escalating to the point where we're attacking their character with what started out as a disagreement. We're at work. Someone has a difference of opinion. We find ourselves amping up and attacking them. It's just a disagreement. How does one go from a disagreement to literally genocide? Well, not literally. Narratively, a genocide. How do we do that? How do we go and find ourselves screaming at our kids in a, you know, in a moment of normalcy, we'd look at what we said and go, I can't believe I said that. We look at how we behave in a group environment. We find ourselves doing all kinds of things, shutting down, you know, undermining somebody, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They're going, what is going on here? We just disagree. So that's what I want to explore today. How we start with a disagreement and end up with our inner asshole. Now the next piece I want to talk about is how we get there. Because it's really important. Disagreement isn't a bad thing, is it? Anyone disagreed? We literally, on our board, so we have a board of directors, we try and find as much diversity on our board as humanly possible so we have as much disagreement as we can get. Because it creates the best decision-making, doesn't it? You have a bunch of people like Vince all sitting in a room, we're all going to agree. Oh yeah, that's a great idea. I get it out here. It's the stupidest idea ever. That's why me and Jeff, we decided we'd do this in a partnership. Sometimes it's hard. Fair, Jeff? Sometimes it's hard. He's back there like, oh, dealing with Clausen. Oh. But you know what? We think that our diversity makes us stronger, makes better decisions, better direction. And so disagreement's not a bad thing. How do we go from disagreement to inner asshole? That's the interesting piece about this. I was reading a book. It's this incredible book. Can you throw up the picture for me? Can't We All Disagree More Constructively? I thought, well, that's a pretty good book to read for this series, right? Now, he says something fascinating that I all want us to start being come really comfortable with. He says there's a trait. You know how we break personalities into a million different things? There's like Myers-Briggs and blah, 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 and DISC and, you know, colors and you name it. His one has a system that breaks it up into a different trait. There's one side of the trait, it's openness. The other side of the trait is threat sensitivity. So, let me put it into a scenario. You're all working for a car company. You're on the assembly line. You put doors on Civics. You think you're pretty good at putting doors on Civics. You've been putting doors on Civics for 20 years. Please don't kill yourselves right now. You're all looking at me like, oh, that's the worst job ever. But your boss comes to you and says, hey, we're like phasing out the Civics. In fact, we're phasing out this whole line. We want to move you to another part of the company because we think you'd do well there. What are you feeling? You feeling excited? Sweet, that is going to be awesome. I wonder what it's going to be. I bet you I'm going to learn a bunch of new things and meet a bunch of new people, be able to have some impact on this company. That'll be amazing. Yeah, I'm super into it, right? When they say, hey, we're doing this change, you're going, brilliant, what are we doing? Let's do this. That is trait openness. How many of you would be thinking this? Well, I wonder what this new position is going to be like. Well, what if I don't like it? I'm really good at putting doors on Civics. Maybe I won't even know what to do. Maybe they'll make me do things that I hate. Maybe this is all go bad. Maybe I won't be able to do it. Maybe I'll get fired, and maybe I'll be living underneath a bridge because I can't pay my mortgage or my rent, and maybe I'm just going to die. Anyone ever have those moments where your brain just kind of goes like, any worst case scenario you can come up with, that's where your brain took you. That's the trait of threat sensitivity. Let me talk about these things. This isn't something you can choose or not choose. It's like introversion and extroversion. It's kind of what you are. You can move the needle a little bit, but you can't change teams. If you have threat sensitivity, you have that trait of threat sensitivity. It's just how your brain works. New things come on and you're like, whoa, whoa. And for those of you who are looking at your partners, don't make it super obvious you're looking at your partners, right? You're like giving the old boom. If you have trait openness, it's just your trait. It's how you're born. And I think, now this, I haven't been able to study this carefully, but in my life anyways, it seems like I have trait openness in certain areas, and I'm threat sensitive in others. So you ask me a question, or come up to me with a new idea, or a new way to take the Bible, or a new concept, my mind is as open as it can be. There is not something that's going to trigger me. I'm going to be like, yeah, bring that. I love it. But you talk about doing something that's going to waste some of my time. My inner calculator is calculating that, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to die if I can't have 2 hours of my day back. It's not that funny, folks. I could die from that, right? For me, the time management life or part of my life, I am extremely sensitive to. Extremely sensitive to. So let me ask. Where are you on the trade openness and threat sensitivity? Just kind of get in your head where you are. Now, here's the thing that I want you to pay attention to. What area triggers your threat sensitivity the most? Because you see, disagreement plus triggered threat sensitivity, what do you think that leads to? Oh, yeah. You want to see Vince's inner asshole. Disagreement plus threat sensitivity equals inner asshole. I was watching a documentary on flat earthers. Have you heard of this concept? It's that the world is not a sphere. It's flat with the North Pole is in the middle and the South Pole is like a ring of ice all the way around it. Now, according to the math that I've looked into, statistically we should have two or three flat earthers in the room here. And that, don't need to put up your hand, that's fair. And I have no judgment. I disagree with you, and that's okay. I think we're on a sphere, and that's fine. If you think we're flat, that's fine too. But as I'm watching this documentary, I'm seeing this fascinating interplay. We have a disagreement. Is the earth flat or is the earth round? That's the disagreement. And there's one scientist whose entire job, she's an astrophysicist, so her entire job is about things that go around the earth outside of the earth. Satellites, planets, solar systems, the sun. She is freaking out. If we let this flat earth concept exist, we'll probably lose science funding, and I'll lose my, she didn't say this, but she's like, I'll lose my job, and we'll probably lose satellites, and we'll probably have no cell phones, and we'll probably all die, right? Do you see how our threat sensitivity got triggered there? We went from, we have a disagreement, to, we can't let this exist. And suddenly her asshole's out. She's attacking them. People calling them morons, idiots, like brutal things that you just don't say to somebody because you have a disagreement. But a disagreement plus a triggered threat sensitivity, oh, we get to do all kinds of stuff, don't we? Where have you seen your threat sensitivity take a disagreement from something where it's simple as, hey, we disagree, to something much bigger than that? Where have you catastrophized something, justified something, talked about how if that can exist? I heard someone say the other day, one of their friends voting NDP, they're a small business owner, they think the NDP is against small business. Well, to allow that person to vote NDP means I'm out of work. I'm going to lose my livelihood. I'll probably go bankrupt. And instead of saying, I disagree with you, I want you to vote this way, it became an attack. I cannot let you vote NDP. I cannot let you believe in a flat earth. I have to destroy you. Just like the nation of Israel did, right? Let's just take a second. Where in our lives have we started with a simple disagreement? Got triggered and it taken it someplace just horrible. Do you know where that is in your life? Jesus comes along probably a few thousand years after when this first one is written down. And the account of Jesus says this. Jesus says, you've heard it said, can you throw it up for me? You've heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Can you love your enemy when you're triggered like that? When your partner comes home with a new outfit and says, hey, check out my new outfit. And instead of going to, wow, that new outfit must bring you so much joy, your brain's going to, how much did that cost? Times 1,000 means I'm never going to retire. And I'm going to be 75 until I get to have anything for my life. So screw you in that new outfit. Why did you buy that? Right? Check out my new outfit, asshole. That's how we do it. So here, as I kind of wrap this thing up, I want to ask, If that's true, that difference plus catastrophizing or rationalizing or whatever you're doing leads or often leads to you're an asshole, do you know where your threat response is triggered? Is there certain topics that you just like, they're no-fly zones for you? Well, let's be honest. You can handle them, but you're not going to handle them super well. For me, if somebody wants to talk about me giving up my time, you got to come in that conversation pretty soft. So I say to my partner, hey, look, when we're talking about this, can you be really kind to me? Because I am on the ragged edge of the whole conversation. What topics trigger your threat response? Is it money? Politics? Is it who you hang out with? What our goals are? What's the topic that you just know, like, whenever it comes up, you are on the slippery slope to asshole land, like. What would happen if you told the people in your lives that that's a hard topic for you and we need to go slowly? How would that change your relationship with that person? How would that change the outcome of a disagreement? Would you have enough courage to both be aware and then communicate that to your partner? Communicate that to someone you work with. Communicate that to someone you volunteer with. Communicate to your neighbor. Who knows? Anyone in your life. Think of how that would change the outcome of your relationship. Okay, topic's an easy one. Anyone's threat response get triggered by voice? If I talk like this, suddenly you're like, ah. Someone raises their voice at you, pitches their voice high, makes it kind of naggy sounding. Anyone get triggered? But don't put up your hand, but you know. Voice, that's a tough one. For me, I still remember, I was in junior high, I was in wood shop, I was pushing a sheet of plywood through because someone else had dropped it, so I grabbed it off the, like, just went off to breaking the saw, so I grabbed it and pushed it through, and as I pushed it through, it was a little bit off square. I remember the teacher yelling at me. It was just like, I just about dropped the plywood right there. I still remember it. I was like, however old you are in that grade, less than I am now. Any mathletes out there? Like a long time ago. Is it voice that fires up that threat sensitivity? Is it body language? Having a conversation with someone and suddenly they pull away from you. Ooh. Suddenly you can just feel yourself. Before, there's a period of my time where I was dating after my divorce. And I met this really nice girl. It was, you know, the time where you're talking with lots of people. And we were texting back and forth. I thought she was really great. Like, all these positive qualities. She's really open-minded, blah, blah, blah. Having these great conversations. Till one day, I signed off a text saying, all the best. How do you know the answer to this one already? I had no clue. She lost it on me. Lost it on me. She called me up and I'm like, I have no clue even how we got here. Come on, where were you guys when I needed you? Vince, that's the wrong thing to say. She said, you say all the best to somebody you'll never talk to again. Or somebody you're wishing the best to, I don't know. Needless to say, we never talked again. I said something I didn't know. Triggered her. She went to like a dark place where I'm never going to talk to her again. Her asshole came out, landed me a new one, like just took me out. And I was like, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to talk again. What words trigger your threat sensitivity? There's going to be words that, you know, they can use this word and you're all good, but all the best. If you don't know these things, if you haven't had that moment of mindfulness where you're going, wow, we started out, often this is 2 weeks later, I started out with a disagreement. The next thing I'm calling them a stupid moron. Or, you know, we started this agreement, next thing I know, I'm screaming at them. We started with a disagreement and I haven't talked to them in 6 weeks and I live with them. How did I get there? That's the moment to start looking for that threat, that threat sensitivity trait. What things threaten you? If you don't know it, chances are the people in your life are going to poke you in the eye over and over again, and you're going to go to asshole. But if you can figure out those traits and then communicate them to the people you're with, say, hey, when we're having this conversation, if I say something really personal and you pull back or you yawn or you do this, I'm going to go off the rails because my brain's going into, they're leaving, this is too much, they can't handle this crap, we're done. Can you see it? Unchecked threat sensitivity, to me, is the story of the Israelites. We started out with a disagreement. It escalated to, we're going to die in the wilderness and never be able to go to the promised land. And so we killed you all. If you forget anything or remember anything from today, I want you to remember that connection and say, where am I doing the same thing? Where am I taking a simple disagreement and letting it trigger me into something way bigger than it needs to be? And my behavior just goes down the toilet. Because I think if we can get a handle on this, if we can communicate this well to the people we love, the people we work with, the people we're in contact with, if we even have a moment where we go, oh, we're having that conversation again, or, oh, they use that word again. Take a deep breath. Go, okay, I'm in threat sensitivity land. Take a deep breath. Slow it down. Ask for a time out. Don't let it go all the way to asshole. Don't let it go all the way to trying to destroy someone you love. Don't let it go all the way to wrecking the world around you. Friend Church is about making the world better. If we can get a handle on this part of our lives, tell me that won't make our world better. I wish I had this message when I sat in front of my mom and she said, Vince, can we please not talk about this today? And I just ignored her and kept grinding her. That's 2 years of relationship I could have had with my mom that I wasted. And I don't want that for anyone. Okay, let's take a deep breath, everyone. If you have any questions or comments, send me an email. I love to hear from you. I do want to respond. We got some feedback this last week. I love feedback. It was fantastic. And it's one of the things they asked really nicely. Disagreement, right? They said, hey, I noticed you guys don't pray at the end of your messages. I thought, oh, that's an odd thing to say. But I just want to say, I don't normally say at this point in the message, okay, let me pray for you all. Close your eyes, bow your heads, dear God, and then, you know, the usual prayer. In my life right now, the way prayer works isn't so much of me and this entity out there that if I do something with that entity, maybe that entity will do something good in my life or something like that. That's what I grew up with. I don't really work with Jeff's system where he prays is almost like a verbal processing of to cement his thoughts in his head, his intentionality, which I think is beautiful. For me, prayer works when I step out this door. When I have a disagreement with someone, instead of going right to asshole, I go, oh, wait a second, we're in that place. I'm triggered right now. Hold on a second. And I can pull it out of that horrible place into something loving. To me, that's prayer. Living out love. So let me end with a Vince-style prayer. I hope you all go out of this place, take this best intentionality, and let's do better in our world than we've done before. Not because of shame, but because we can. Let's live incredible lives, can we? Have a great week, everyone. Okay, 1 second. I got one more thing I want to say. Hold on. You can let the music play. We've been trying to crack this nut for 10 years now, and I'm sick of it. We have a bunch of old white dudes on stage. Is anyone sick of hearing old white dudes all the time and not hearing the diversity of our community? I have asked, I don't know how many people, can we have somebody else come up? And it just doesn't work. So if you are not an old white person and you have any interest in talking on stage, please come and talk to me. We need your voices up here because we need diversity. We need more voices, okay? Can we do that? Is that cool? Okay, have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week. It should be fun.